How's it going, Sha?
It's going okay. I think. How are you? You are far from home right now, aren't you?
Very far. I'm out in LA right now, staying with the homies. You know what I mean? I'm out here kicking it, getting a tan. I'm already changed. It's been 4 days. They got me drinking LaCroix now.
Okay. Oh, wow. You okay. Know,
I have four salads in this week. Everything I order just comes with greens.
And that's your annual allotment of salad, isn't it?
The whole thing.
That's it. Your quarterly salads all at once.
Yeah. Like, I went to this place to get food, Claudine's, I think it is. Really good food. Enjoyed it. And like everything, the side orders was like five different types of greens before you could pick potatoes.
Like, right.
And that was for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And I was like, yo, like I get this for like y'all doing greens this early in the morning? I was like, I'm here for breakfast.
Oh, no, absolutely.
Yeah.
I do salad in the morning.
Really?
Yes. And here is why. Because I know I need to eat. I need to get some sort of greens in me. I am at my hungriest in the morning. And I'm like, let's take advantage of that.
Yeah.
So I'm very much like, oh, I need to get this down while I can. Yeah. So
it's a mission statement. I like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I will have my breakfast salad, which is just mixed greens with a little bit of sliced turkey sausage in it.
I like it. I got to make that change. I don't do it. They seemed very concerned that I wasn't doing salad. Like, I was like, yeah, I just want the sandwich. I was like, can I get it with, like, what's your potato thing that they do? And I was like, you got hash browns, you got fries, you got anything like that. And they're like, we got this kind of salad. And I was like, nah, I don't want that. And I'm like, how about this one? And I was like, nah. They're like, yo, seriously, like, how often do you get salads? And like, I was like, that felt personal. I was like, I don't know, like, I feel like that's a me decision. I'm on a journey.
Right.
You know? But yeah, they were very insistent. And then like, I showed my friends when I got upstairs, I got like a chicken wrap. And I feel like because I didn't get the salad, they insisted on putting more greens in my wrap to like, yo, we gonna sneak in the salad. He needs this. Like, this
they
is
were
like the greater good.
Very concerned about you.
Oh man. Yeah. But it tasted great. You know, a lot of crunch.
Sure. Yeah. I get that.
I wanna fight it, like bottom of my heart. Like I'll be like, I don't wanna do LaCroix, I don't wanna do the salads, but like by my third day, like I was in the shower and I was like, yo, my skin look great. I'm like, is that all it is? I've been killing myself from the inside that my skin's like showing me signs.
Yeah. That's kind of it. That is kind of it. Yeah.
Go figure. Yeah. I was in the shower. I was like, yo, that looks fantastic. Like, oh my goodness. Like, 3 days. Yo, what if it was on a plane and I'm still feeling awesome. I was like, all right,
wow.
Cool.
Yeah, no see, figure. That's how LA gets you.
It traps seriously.
You with salads that make you, your skin look good. And then you're like, I got to be out here all the time. Look at how great I look and feel. And then you go out there and they haven't quite managed to come up with a salad that combats the loneliness of being in LA. Where's your anti-lonely salad? They don't have one of those. So everyone just keeps eating salad looking for the anti-loneliness one and they can't seem to find it.
They keep putting different things in them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
I've never heard microbiotics says so much to describe a meal in my life. Very odd. But the loneliness is real out here. I was so I'm here with some of my oldest friends from New York. And the two of them, they moved out here like, you know, a year and a half ago. So like, they still have New York instincts when they like drive around, certain parts of town. So like, we were going through places and like, LA, since it's not a walking area, like everything is so drive centric that like whenever you see someone walking, it feels like a scary movie is starting.
Right. Yes.
You know, like they're in the shadows. There's no lights on the, on the streets. Mm-hmm. You know, no one walks on the sidewalk.
And here's the thing. They have such spacious sidewalks.
Yeah.
Like they, the city itself is kind of built. Yes, it is built for cars. It is a car centric city, but it is also, they also considered pedestrians because they put sidewalks there. And that blew my mind when I was there. I was just like, all I heard was how people drive around and no one ever walks. So that's what I was mentally preparing for. But I wasn't expecting sidewalks because in Atlanta, sidewalks are kind of new. Like the idea of people walk. I've walked the streets of Atlanta plenty, but I'd have to be in the street because they're not big on putting a sidewalk in neighborhoods or busy roads. Like you got to catch a bus, but you know, there's no sidewalk. You're just walking on the side of a hill till you get to the bus stop. So I'm like, wow, at least LA knew that at some point someone might be walking on this street. I mean, granted, it does look, it is terrifying.
Yo, anyone that I see outside walking, like I assume like, yo, like they committed a crime. Like, what are they hiding from? You know, like, cause it always feels like they're like meditating, like they just had a big argument with someone inside. And that's the only reason you'd be outside. Like, I need to gather myself before I go back in there. Let me have one of these calming salads, you know?
Where's my calm salad?
You know what I mean? I had to bring peace back in my life. But, yo, it's dope, man. It definitely brings a level of inner peace, I will say. Like, the weather, the food. You know what I mean? So I ain't mad at it. Like getting out here on occasion is cool. This is one of the places too that like I look at a lot as like, I know you told me not to look to move everywhere I go to. This is a place I can't not picture that. Every time
right,
I'm
here. Sure.
And you know, and for because of our jobs too, like, you know,
right.
Like it's a real thing. Like this is half of the industry essentially. Mm-hmm. You know? So like anytime I'm here, I'm looking and like, I could vibe with it. I could do, I think, LA. It's a little warm for me, but I know there's air conditioning is everywhere out here. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. But I'll like talk to like a kid and like the accent ain't the accent that like I want my kids to have, if that makes sense. Like I like it as like, yo, that dude sound cool in a movie or like a rap song, but like, then they won't feel like mine, if that makes sense.
Okay. I understand in theory what you mean. What is the accent that you're speaking of? What's the LA accent?
It's like the West Coast, like, and the thing is, that's the other thing. Like, I think accents along with slang really pivot like every 20 years. So, like, it's not even like, oh, my kids sound like Snoop. That'd be dope. You know, it's there's like a modern slang along with the West Coast accent, like I would feel a real disconnect if my kid sounded like that versus a New Yorker. Because I'm already going to not have the slang. I've accepted that, like, you know, even though I still think I'm cool, I know I'm not that age cool.
Right, right.
But at least they're going to sound like kids from Brooklyn, like in terms of their accent. But like if I have both of those gone, like, what are we at that? Like, you're just a person living in my house, you know, like.
Well, I mean, your kids have been living with their accents long enough. It'll take a while for those to kind of drop out.
Yeah.
I think so. I mean, yeah, I think so. I mean, I feel like maybe they'll just end up with perhaps a neutral. The slang they're going to use, like, that slang could travel. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like you could hear about like LA slang by watching a show, any upcoming show that might be set in LA. They can learn the slang that way by music. You know, like they'll hear the slang. They may decide to use it and they may decide that doesn't feel right in my mouth. And that's also fair. But yeah, I don't think you won't lose. I wouldn't worry about the accent. and I don't want to say losing the attitude, because attitudes has a negative connotation, but the way that you are, the way that the formative years, trust me, they're not going to lose that anytime soon, because they've already been steeped in it for very long. People who deal with me say that I feel Brooklyn, and I spent most of my years in Atlanta. I moved there when I think I was like 8 or 9 when we moved there. And I am not that, I am considerably older than that now. And people are still like, you give me Brooklyn. And I'm like, I don't know how, but I can't use any of those. I can't use the slang. Some of the, you know, dead ass don't feel right in my mouth, you know? But so I think your kids have a very strong, Brooklyn foundation.
Okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry. I mean, it's not going to be as thick as yours. And that's honestly, fair. I wouldn't want it to be as thick as yours, because that means they're getting out more.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm not mad at that. I can't hold them to that either. That'd be weird.
Yeah, exactly. I would want them to have a slightly weaker Brooklyn accent, so that when they talk about you, they are able to put it on.
I like
and
that.
So they can do you and they can do your wife with these accents, and you're like, oh, you're talking about your father right now. You're talking about your mom right now.
I didn't think of that. You're right. Yeah. I like that.
Because I tell you what, my dad was partially raised by his grandmother, who was from St. Kitts. And I knew her. I knew my great grandmother, but you know, I'm a kid. So I didn't really see her much once we moved to Georgia. Mm. But my dad was able to slip into a Caribbean accent like, whoa, like at no. And I was like, why didn't you teach us that? Why didn't you let us soak in that a little bit? I would love to be able to do that. And he also had an ear for other accents. So when he was like, say, hospitals or hospice and nurses would talk, he'd go Trinidad and they'd go, yes. And I'm like, how did you know that? And he's just like, I just had an ear. He was just real. And so to be able to put that on and then take that off, and he didn't have a particularly strong Brooklyn accent, even though he was Bed-Stuy.
Yeah.
Like do or die or whatevs. And my mother didn't have a particularly strong Southern accent, even though she was from the middle of Georgia. She said the only time when she moved to New York, the only time that someone like turned their head at something Southern, she said, is when she was at the grocery store and she asked for, instead of asking for a bag, she asked for a sack. And they were like, a sack. And she was like, a bag.
Caught you slipping out there, yo.
Yeah, like, oh no. So, you know, like, they still have the Brooklyn in them, so I wouldn't worry about that no matter where you end up. But that accent will still be with them for a while. And even if not, they can access it quickly.
Okay. I like
that. And also the California accent, like that I feel like that I hear out of Black people, is very Southern sounding.
Yeah, I find it very dope. Like, I find it welcoming. It's just so far from mine that, like, I would always know, like, man, I took y'all away from the thing that makes me me. But I love the accent out here. Like, I think it's dope. It's, like, I would love to have relatives from here. Mm. You know? Like, I want that. Like, I love a lot of the Cali accents that I'm hearing. Like, there's, like, differences between, like, L.A. and Oakland.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I like those accents. Like, I'm super Brooklyn, obviously, but my favorite accent East Coast is actually Philly's. Like, I love the way Philly people talk. I think it's cool. The accent and the slang, I think, is really, like, funky. And I dig it.
Is it stronger, you think, than a Brooklyn one?
I think it's equally strong, but it has, like, just enough of its own nuance.
Okay.
That I like. And I think they have, in my opinion, the best slang of the Northeast.
Okay.
I think they do they constantly come up with words that I think are perfect and are very cool and also achieve, I think, the besides the cool aspect of slang, they achieve the actual time benefit of being shorter almost always. Like that makes sense is a better word.
Right.
You know, I hate slang where like the word is longer than the original word.
Right.
You know, I'm like, that defeats the whole purpose of this. You know, we're trying to create a communal shorthand here. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I think Philly bodies that on a regular basis. So yeah, like I love hearing people's like unique slang. And in turn, like, I feel like that's why I connect with people. Cause I'm like, I'm being fully this. Mm-hmm. And then people around me who aren't normally comfortable being fully them, or then like I could lean into the part of me that I gotta hide when I'm in the office or whatever, you know?
And oh, sure.
So I love that, and I want my kids to have that. So in a weird way, like I think the differences connects people. You mm-hmm. know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I was going into this comedy club while I was out here. I was outside at the improv, and I've never been there before. So I was talking with the door dude. Mm-hmm. So I was like, yo, you know, what do I check in as the comic? And he's like, what part of Brooklyn you from? You know how thick my accent had to be. He skipped through the city. He took
yeah,
the
he's
borough.
Like, nope, I know. I already know. What street are you on?
Like, what's your favorite corner store? Let me know. You know, it was so like sharp. Like I was like, yo, that's wild. And he's like, yeah, nah, I hear it. I was like, okay. I was like, yo, bro. He's like, yup. He's like, that's not Queens. It's not the Bronx. He's like, it's Dev Brooklyn. He's like, it's similar, but nah, it's this. He's like, I can't quite tell what neighborhood. I was like, yeah, that's wild. I was
that's
like, first of all,
hilarious.
You overqualified for this job, my G.
Right,
that is
I know.
Phenomenal.
Yo, now that I feel secure if you're able to narrow
you know,
it down to
a where they're from, what they're capable of,
a borough or county, then yes, I feel secure with you.
But yeah, he was dope. But yeah, like that I love that like instant thing. Like when me and my friends went out last night for dinner, like not that we needed to because you can hear us, mm-hmm. but like love the like we all wore like Brooklyn Dodger hats.
Wow.
It was such a dope like moment of like, yo, yeah, this is us. And I'm like, also, we didn't need to do this. Like everyone
no.
needs to
do this. Yeah, you don't have to do that. I will say that you have made the spirit of my father very happy. That you wore Brooklyn Dodgers hats.
Hell yeah. My boy even had the like the 47 stitching on it. Like, hell yeah. That's the stuff. Oh man. Yeah, I had to push back at all the Sally game. That's it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, they're gonna, you know, how do you feel about avocado?
I enjoy avocado.
You'll be fine out there. I hate avocado. I hate it. It's just what? It's just butter. It's just butter from a tree. What are we doing? They are putting avocado in places that I would not normally put butter. So now why should I just eat out because it's a better fat? Get me out. It's still fat. Whatever. It has no real taste, and it just yeah.
I think that's kind of like what surprises me at how good it's like how much it's like press like team has done for it, you know, like
yes,
avocado's publicist is the shit, like they're incredible.
Yeah,
yo, it is in so many it's in the health game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people putting it on toast, people making smoothies with that shit.
Right, it's in hair care, like there's shampoo, avocado infused shampoo or some shit.
Straight
face
up.
Face stuff. Like, it's, yeah. Avocado definitely diversified.
And it's only got, like, 3 days of use.
Right.
Like, that's what blows my... I think that's why people figured out all these alternative things. Like, I'm going to pay, like, $8 for this fruit that dies on Tuesday.
Right.
You know, I
got
to leverage it. Like, I'm not that hungry. Avocados are very filling. Mm-hmm. You know, so if I'm going to eat, an eighth of this and have to throw out the majority, I'm gonna rub this on my skin if it makes me look a little better, you know. They figured that out here first.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess there are avocado trees all over the place there.
Yeah,
maybe.
I mean, yeah.
Or citrus. I think like lemon or orange trees or something. I don't know. There are trees. Just look around because there are lots of trees out there that honestly aren't supposed to be out there because it is a desert. But, you know, whatever. Whatever, LA. You do you. It's fine.
You're shining, baby.
You're great. You're doing great. We love you. Very we love you, LA.
Oh, man. Let's get into the news.
All righty.
We got Tocoron Prison. Or Tocoron Prison. I see the accent there. Venezuela regains control of a gang-run jail with a pool and a zoo.
What?
Yo. 11,000 security personnel were deployed to Tocoron Prison, which had been run by inmates for years. Prisoners were able to roam freely inside the penitentiary, which had hotel-like facilities, including a pool, a nightclub, and a mini-zoo. The interior minister said that the jail would be completely cleared. Tocoron not only held convicted criminals, but also some of their partners and relatives who moved into the penitentiary to be near their loved ones. One woman, Gladys Hernandez, told the local news that she was waiting to hear where they were taking her husband. I was living in there, but they kicked us out, she said.
Oh, wow.
The jail doubled up as the headquarters of the Tren de Aragua, Venezuela's most powerful transnational gang. From jail, Tren de Aragua ruled the criminal enterprise spanning several Latin American countries, reaching as far as Chile. Or Chile, right? I think.
Yeah, I think it's Chile.
Chile. Yeah, that's kind of fire. They had like a club in there.
They have an aerial view of the prison grounds. Here are the prison blocks. Here are some shacks. Here's the children's play area, which is right next to the swimming pool. Then on the other side of the prison ground, there's the baseball field, which is right next to the mini zoo and stables.
Of course.
And stables. Don't
you have
get
a jail without stables, huh?
What on earth? This is wild. Inmates could place bets on horse races, arrange loans at a makeshift bank, and dance the night away at a nightclub called Tokyo. When food and everyday items were hard to come by in Venezuela at the height of the country's economic crisis, one newspaper reported locals would go to Tocoron to buy the essentials that they could not get anywhere else.
Yo, shots to Tocoron having its own BJs in there, yo. That's what's up, yo.
Oh, wow.
Hell yeah.
Wow.
Yo.
I mean, look, that's organized crime. That's like this gang built a whole city complete with a mini zoo.
Yo.
In a prison, had loved ones living with them.
Yeah.
Which which I mean might help with the rehabilitation. I don't know how much rehabilitation you're getting in this prison, but it seems like if you had a loved one there to help you through it, I don't know. We're all looking through the prison rehabilitation situation. We're all trying to figure out what works best. I don't know if this works best, but I also kind of see how it might work a little.
Yeah.
I mean, they seemed happy. They seemed happy and in this spot. So, like, are they still doing dirty stuff?
It can't be that bad if people were trying to move in.
Right.
I feel like, I feel like the wording is weird because it's like, is this prison really overrun by prisoners or is it just well run by prisoners?
I think it's well run by prisoners. They got a nice little town that they set up here. They put up a nice little town with a swimming pool. There is no pool in my area.
Saying, like, I've seen tax dollars do less.
Yeah. Like, I mean,
way less with way more.
I, you know, I guess we can call it a gang, but couldn't we also call it the government? What? Ha! Blew your mind. Come on.
Oh, man. Yeah, open up a pool. I want a pool. I want the children's play area. The mini zoo is fire, yo. That's a dream right there. That's someone with a vision.
Kind of wild. Like, that's kind of, it was just like, stable. I know I'm a criminal, but I also love animals. Hey, man, can we also get some animals in here? Yes. We can race the horses. But what about, like, you know, seals or ducks or something? Can we do that? A couple of monkeys.
Yeah, I'm a thug Monday to Friday, but I like ferrets.
You know? Yeah, because I imagine they're kind of limited. It is a mini zoo, so I feel like you have to have smaller animals. You can't. There's no hippo at a mini zoo. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that zoo would be like two animals deep at that point.
Yes. Yeah, that's it. So I feel like it needs to be small animals at the mini zoo.
Yo, shouts to this prison, man. That's dope.
Yeah, good for them. I'm sorry they broke y'all up, but they were really...
Y'all were doing something over there, real talk.
You really were. Kind of revolutionary.
In other news, we had woman sues Disney over a water slide wedgie that left her injured. That's right. A couple is suing Walt Disney Paris and Resorts after one of them sustained an injurious wedgie at the Typhoon Lagoon at the water park. Emma McGinnis got hurt while riding the Humunga Cowabunga, that should have been a warning in general, I think, water slide. In October of 2019, she and her husband, Edward, said in the lawsuit filed in Orange County, Florida last week. Jesus, they were all over the place. Okay. She rode the slide where the guests speed 214 feet downhill while visiting Walt Disney World with her family, in part for her 30th birthday. Damn, that's how you did your 30th. The impact of the slide and her impact into the standing water at the bottom of the slide called Mrs. McGinnis's clothing to be painfully forced between her legs and for water to be violently forced inside of her, said the complaint. McGinnis, who was wearing a one-piece swimsuit, felt immediate and severe pain internally and was bleeding between her legs, the complaint said. She was taken by ambulance to a local hospital and later transported to another hospital for repair of her gynecologic injuries. Jeez.
Man.
Damages of exceeding $50,000, exclusive of interest and costs. Yo, I feel like you lowballing. I really believe this. Like,
This is beyond a wedgie. Like,
yeah,
this seems like this was extremely painful. And what a fucking mess. I'm sure Disney or anyone trying to write it up is probably using words like, just to say it was like this woman suing us over a wedgie. Can you believe how litigious people have gotten? Kind of like the woman, the McDonald's drive-thru woman who sued McDonald's over the coffee being too hot and burning her. And people were like, oh, the people are burning over hot or suing over hot coffee now. And it's like, no, she had third-degree burns on her lap.
Yeah.
On her legs and her arms and hands. Like, because it was scalding hot. It was hotter than just boiling. Yeah, sue them, motherfuckers. Amen. I just was kind of looking ahead. It says, according to the complaint, riders are told to cross their legs at the ankles at the top of the slide, though they're not told why. When she assumed that position, she became airborne close to the end of the slide and was slammed downward against it, making it more likely her legs would become uncrossed. And then it says here, because of their particular anatomy and as a consequence of the type of swimwear women frequently wear, the risk of water being forced inside their body is greater than it is for men, said the complaint. I swear to God. What can we do? Like, what's okay?
Jeez.
Like, we can't get on the water slide no more?
Seriously.
Jesus.
Wasn't a single woman on that engineering team?
Yeah, no, I'm sure not. No, uh-uh. No.
No consideration at all.
None. Like, what do we, yuck. People just, They just want to slide down. I don't know. Slides. It seems to me water and speed. Maybe that's not.
Leave it to the professionals.
Leave it to the professionals. But even the professionals are wearing an all-in-one wetsuit. Ain't no one out there. So let me. Don't give me grief if I decide to hang out at your pool party in a wetsuit. I don't know what's going to happen. I can't trust any body of water now. Do you know what I mean?
I shower in wetsuits now, you know?
I mean, like, I'm just side-eyeing my tub, just like, I don't know. I don't trust anything now.
I love the idea of, like, someone, like, designing a water slide for a national park that, like, doesn't work for half of the population.
Right? Like, oh my God.
That is wild. They're like, oh yeah. I mean, some women might have, mainly all women might have some issues with this, but they're not going to be on the slide. They're on the side holding their children's hands while they're
married. Right. Yes. Fun. Yeah. They're not going to. Yes. No, this could severely injure women, but I mean, they're going to be off getting meals or something, right? Yeah. This is just only the men are going to ride this.
Of course.
Only a manly man will ride the humongous, whatever the fuck this was called. What was this called?
Cowabunga, some shit.
The humonga cowabunga. Well, honestly, yeah, no, you're right. You shouldn't be on that anyway. The humonga cowabunga, yeah.
I definitely know if I mentioned that to Gabby, she would be like, yeah, I'm not doing that before the trip.
Also, it's 214 feet downhill. Yeah, no, this is all everything. Nothing that I want to do. But no. That don't mean that I shouldn't be able to do it just because I'm built different.
Exactly.
That's fucked up. Yo, give them everything they want and more. They are not asking for enough.
Right. 50 G's. Like, I feel like she's being incredibly kind here. Mm-hmm. Like, yo, listen, like, 50,000, just cover the cost of the tickets. That's all I'm asking. You know, like.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, 50,000 at this point at Disney, $50,000 is like 3 days.
Real talk. You ain't even staying on a resort. You're like.
Yeah.
Like 3-4 cities out, you know what I mean?
Yes. And some Airbnb. There's a shuttle involved with a $50,000 Disney trip.
Highly reasonable, yo. This would be an easy check cut by Disney.
Yes, absolutely. There needs to be a 2 in the front of that. That needs to be a quarter of a mil.
Seriously, yo. Come on. I got to buy like new seat padding, you know?
Yeah.
Show that lady some love, yo.
Oh my gosh. Oh, yuck.
In other news, Wally. The emotional support alligator went to see the Phillies, and then he went viral. Oh, rock on. An emotional support alligator walks into a ballpark, and they ask him to leave. That's a story that made headlines in recent days thanks to viral photos and videos showing Wally, a 6-foot-long, 55-pound alligator wearing a harness and leash and his human companion outside of Citibank Park during a Phillies game on Wednesday night. But that's not the whole truth, said owner Joey Henney. We were not there to go to the ball game. We were there to meet the players. That's what we went there for. And I was invited, and I didn't just show up. To understand the backstory, you need to know, as Wally's myriads of local admirers and online fans do, just how beloved this 8-year-old alligator already is. Wally, to the detriment of two comedians hosting a podcast, has more than 114,000 followers on TikTok. And 27,000 on IG. He's gone viral before. He's posed for photos at City Hall and with the mayor of York and visited seniors at local retirement centers. He was the visual reference for Alligator Loki in the hit Disney show Loki. He's actually world famous. Yo, Wally's doing it. Wally only goes where he's invited, but apparently he was asked to leave. I'm assuming support alligators aren't really co-signed at Philly games.
Okay, but wait a minute. So the team, the Philadelphia Phillies, asked Wally to come visit?
Yeah, it looks like he was invited to come meet the players before the game, but wasn't allowed onto like the field to see the game. Like, they don't got seats for Gators.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Like, all right. So I'm looking at this. So there's a fan who invited Wally and its human to come down to meet the team.
Yeah.
So they weren't there. Initially, Wally didn't go to the game. He went to meet the team. But by the time they got to the stadium, the players were already preparing for the game. So since they were there, the person figured, let me just buy tickets for you and your alligator. But she didn't ask about the rules for emotional support animals. And they were like, we were standing in line and they said, I can't take Wally in because they only allow service animals. And I said, all right, that's good. Which honestly, that's how you should respond. If your animal is an alligator, yeah, or you know what? Let's broaden this. Or a crocodile. If this is your support, emotional support animal, and you go somewhere and they're like, hey, no, you can't. You should, your first response should be, that's fair. Okay. You know, you should never like make a fuss. You should not make a fuss because you should know. Yeah, they're not going to let you walk in here with a goddamn alligator. Like, what? Oh, boy.
You know what, though?
Uh-oh.
Nobody thinks of the animals, you know, like when you're an emotional support alligator,
mm-hmm,
you know, how about your days off? You know, who's emotionally supporting you? My boy Wally giving unconditional love to this dude. Gets famous. Now other people know Wally, you know, other people want Wally's love. They inviting them places, hugging up on Wally, and Wally's about it. He's a man of the people, you know. But sometimes Wally got to unwind too, you know? What's right. Wally's favorite activity? Turns out Wally's a Dominican dude, wants to watch baseball.
So, you know? So then Wally needs to go by himself.
Okay, that's fair.
In a jersey and a pair of jeans.
Off the clock.
Off the clock.
Yeah.
Don't come in your emotional support, you know, harness. Come in with a cap on.
Yeah.
We'll sell you a ticket that way. Or maybe Wally needs to figure out, I am an alligator. Maybe I can't go to a live game. I can go to my local sports bar. They know me down there. Certainly. Certainly he's been to a sports bar with his person, with his human. Just go down there, put him up on the counter, let him watch the game. While understanding it's his night off.
That's his ride,
but it's his night off, so let him allowed to sit up here. Yeah, let him drink.
You know what I mean? Responsibly, Wally, you know?
Yes, absolutely. We know you're not driving, but still. We don't want you to be dehydrated. You are an alligator.
Yeah, be your skin dry already, you know?
Yeah, we can't have that.
In other news, the CEO of Airbnb wants you to charge less for your house.
Oh, come on. What are we doing?
That's right. The poor, struggling CEO of Airbnb, Brian Chesky, has a message for the hosts on his platform. Lower your prices. We want prices to move and be more competitive vis-a-vis with the hotels. That is really important, said Chesky, as part of an interview he took place with on Monday. Airbnb's current rate comparison tools for hosts does not incorporate nearby hotel rates. Chesky said he wants hosts to look at rates for hotels in their area just so they have a sense of what travelers are getting on their platform. We need to get our house in order, said Chesky, who pointed to issues of affordability, not showing customers total prices per listing and fake listings as things the company would seek to address going forward.
Oh, wow. Okay. Oh,
they're coming for it. Chesky's comments. What happened?
No, I'm just thinking, like, great, but also, shit, y'all let this happen. I mean,
this is anyway, all under your watch.
Yeah. Keep reading. But I'm like, I mean, it feels a little too late right now. But okay.
Yeah, the houses should have been gotten in order from jump, my G.
Yes.
The company reported its first profitable year in 2022, but the fears of an Airbnb bust have plagued the company since last year, with the host complaining of a slowdown in bookings, stiff competition over guests, and falling revenue. The fears of an Airbnb bust come after a travel frenzy in 2021, which pushed revenue to record highs for hosts and likely contributed to more people listing their homes as rentals. We've seen a big uptick in supply, which means that that demand is being spread out over more listings, leading to occupancy decline. But this coming year could be an even more competitive year for hosts. AirDNA predicted in December that 2023 would see a lower occupancy rate for short-term rental vacation rentals than in 2022.
Especially since New York made that shit illegal.
They're like, you're not, shut that down.
I knew
like my last when I was still selling furniture, I remember one of the last people I dealt with came in, and he was a building owner in like Queens. And he was like, yeah, like I'm converting my whole building to Airbnb.
Oh, and wow.
Like, straight up, he was like 16 apartments. He's like, I'm doing the whole thing Airbnb. He's like, I'm like half hour from the city, and it was more money to like have all these short-term rentals. And like, that can't be good for like, you know, a Hilton or like a local hotel to just have a dude renting his whole apartments out for the same price, you know?
But unless he's in an area where there are no Hiltons.
Fair.
Or something like that, I guess, you know, that's a thing. I mean, it does, of course, take away possible, residents for people who need someplace to live. Like, we lose property that way. So that kind of stinks. But I mean, it's just the hosts have been out of pocket lately on Airbnb, the way they're pricing. And then, you know, you find out something, you know, they break it down per night and you're like, okay, great. That seems reasonable and close enough to what I want to do. And then this is the handling fee. This is the cleaning fee, which is wild because when you get there, they'll have a whole detailed list of how they want you to clean the place before you leave. And so all of that bumps it up to more than it would. And it's like, why don't I just go to a hotel where I don't even have to clean? If anything, I'm encouraged to make as much a mess as possible because that's more opportunity for the cleaning people to come in and get tipped. Wow. You know, and so like it really was just kind of a mess. So besides like, all right, now apartments are becoming Airbnb. So that's, you know, we don't have any place to stay. Y'all are charging too much because everybody ran out into the street after COVID. We ain't always going to be 1 year out from a pandemic. Like, although we are honestly in a pandemic now, but you know, in case we forgot, still happening. But yeah, like it's not always going to be the year that after everyone's been like basically inside for 18 months, it's not always going to be like that. So for people to decide like, oh, that's what I'm going to do. It's like, it's too late. Everybody's doing it. That's where we all stayed. We all stayed where everyone's doing it. I'm back at a hotel now. Y'all are tripping.
Word.
Y'all are all tripping.
Learning too late.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a little late. But nice of you to say, hey, guys, maybe we should lower. You know, it's nice of you to acknowledge that everything is a mess in your company.
Yeah. That's all we ask.
Yeah.
I do like that. This is the first time they're making money, though. I find that all interesting. Like, all right, the only way our business works is if you're overcharging for yours, but don't overcharge too much because, like,
right,
people are starting to talk, you know? Like, keep this under wraps.
Yeah. Are they? They're public, right? They're not a private, they're a public company.
If they're not, they're trying to be for sure.
Okay.
Like, I do think that's their goal at some point.
Mm hmm.
But yeah, who knows? I'd like to be. I wish I invested earlier. You know, would have been cool to.
Yeah, maybe. But it's also like you have to. You got to be like a kind of like a hotel. Like it's different than, I mean, not that I know what it's like to be a landlord, but I do know that when you contact your landlord about something wrong in your place.
Yeah,
it's not like, I don't have enough towels or where's the shampoo? It's not that, you know what I mean? So when those are tenants, those are things they could kind of take care of. And then you got to do the bigger things. I think when you're a landlord versus when you're Airbnb, when it's just like, you know, I don't have enough towels. You said there'd be an ironing board or whatever, you know, like that kind of thing.
You know what I find weird about the whole thing? Like, I have tenants and we're good with each other, but like, I wouldn't call a single one of my tenants like my friend.
Right.
I know my, you know, like we, you know, whatever they need, we take care of it and we do, you know, head nods. Hey, how you doing? And keep it moving. And I think I have one of the friendlier relationships with my tenants versus most people. Like, I'm cordial. They say, what's up? They see my kids. I feel like every Airbnb I've stayed in is like starting like a fake short-term friendship. Like, I have, like, hey, how you doing?
Yes.
You know what I mean? Everything's great so far. How you, yo, this is fire.
They keep wanting you to check in. Yeah. Just like, hey, let me know how, did you get there yet? Let me know how things are. How did you find the, and I'm like, hey man, please hush. Just a second. Please hush. I don't need a buddy.
Yeah, I came here to get away. I didn't come to new problems. I don't want to know what you're carrying in your life. Okay.
But it's also a buddy that's like, hey, so I'm glad that you're able to stay here. Now, if anyone at the front asks, you're my cousin and you're in town for a reunion and like all this stuff, and just don't make eye contact with anyone and try not to. If you see someone else in the hallway, try to hide in the linen closet until they go by, and then you can, and also only use this elevator because the camera's broken in that one and they'll never see. I'm like, what is this? Are you supposed to be here? Like, what are we?
Now, I got to do a rollout out of the apartment now?
Yeah, exactly. I've got sheets tied together out of the balcony, and you can just leave that way. It happened.
Oh, it's happening.
Oh, wow. Yo, I didn't think it was going to happen.
Yo, this is real. I know we're safe now.
Okay.
We've been tested.
I love that we captured that. I love that we captured that. I really didn't think. I have on do not disturb and everything, and my phone said, fuck your do not disturb.
In case of emergency, we go disturb you.
We disturbing you. Also, it was 18 minutes late, so in case of emergency, I'm dead. Yo.
This is to let you know that 18 minutes ago.
18 minutes ago.
Your atomic bomb got let off. My bad.
Yeah, you're probably indisposed right now, what with dying from the bomb, but 18 minutes ago. But also, everyone, that's proof that that worked East Coast and West Coast.
Word. Oh, man. If you would like to listen to this podcast in the afterlife, all you gotta do is like, subscribe to the show, baby. If you're an Apple or Spotify listener, we appreciate your ratings. 4 stars. You are okay with the emergency broadcast system being 18 minutes late. 5 stars, you see the gap in that system. I don't know about you. I've gotten written up for far less at work.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've never heard of an 18-minute grace period at any job.
Not at all. If I clock in at 9:06, I might as well stay out till 11. It's the same thing.
Whenever I've been more than 15 minutes late, I just debate on calling in sick outside.
Right.
Go home, you know? If you have any articles you want us to cover, please DM us directly on Twitter or Instagram at Silky Jumbo, at Gastromonte. Shout out this week to Max Lee, Kate Hoffman, and Iron Fist Mom. With all that said, I am the newly dead Gastro Almonte, you know, with the growing her third arm, Shalay was sharp.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. I lived, but you don't want to mess with me. It's not it's not great.
Next week will be the first episode hosted by the Roaches.
We all knew that was coming. Yeah.
Catch y'all next time. Peace. What's the guns go, go, go?